Strike a Chord Podcast, music chit chat with your hosts Valentina Gikowski and Amla Piriakabu. Welcome to Strike a Chord. Amla, how are you going?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, going good. Going good. What are we going to talk about today?
We're going to talk about how to start a band, how to get a band going.
Grassroots.
Yeah. So I'd like to kick it over to you. You've had a lot of experience with several bands.
But you only get a few experience of starting a band when you're young. You
know, yes.
When you're starting off a band, when you've just got your confidence up, the ability to go and ask other mates or other people start a band. You can only do that a couple of times. As you grow older, it's like, again. And I think that's the beauty of when you're young, when you're starting a band.
Exciting and fresh.
It's exciting. And you're starting a band with most likely people of your age and just having fun. I think that's...
The motivation is you're fresh, everything's new, and you go, I want to meet some other musicians and play some music together.
Yeah, or some kids just want to be rock stars, you know?
Oh, that too, yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. Like at that level of playing, where you know your outlook is bigger than what you possess as skills. You know, so which is great, because you're looking at yourself in the future as a kid,
and you learn along the way as well.
Go.
No, I was just thinking. I guess I didn't think of it until now. There's a couple of stages of bands, I guess, when you're young and you start a band, but versus now when you've got an ensemble now, ensemble/band. How did that start, actually? How did you start a band as an accomplished musician yourself?
When I started the band, it was about it was a bit different for me. I actually started when I started playing music, I started playing in an established band already, because I started playing young,
right.
And I started playing pro very young. But I did also make my own band. And this was an interesting, because I had some mates, you know, who knew how to play and everything like that. But I think it was great, because back then it was a bit shaky, because everyone's at different levels and, you know, not everyone knows how to approach songs and how to, you know, see what chords they are and had to work out chords and stuff like that. We were all finding our way. But in starting a new band, I think you're going to start it with people that you know, I think, first.
Yeah.
So you feel comfortable with mates. And if you don't have mates, I think you're going to find people who are most likely your generation or your age, and people who, or, you know, kids and people as well, because there are adults who start their own bands as well for the first time. But I think finding that the same mentality sort of thing, and that actually brings in the same age and that generation. When you're a 15, 16 year old, you probably want to find another 15, 16 year old to start that garage band, you know. So I think for me it was interesting, because I was quite confident what I was playing, but I also have insecurities. So you don't know what the other kids are going to bring, or you don't know what they're going to bring, especially people who are coming in as new. And then you think, oh, okay, it's starting to sound quite good, you know? Like everything's a bit shaky, but and you start to see everything come together, you know, the drums, bass, and guitar, and everything like that. And when you hear all of that, you think, oh, it's really happening. You know, as a kid, it's exciting.
Yeah,
What about you?
Oh, gosh. That's right. So I was doing like classical duets and stuff with my friend. I mean, I guess that is a band, but it's a different, it's more of an ensemble, and that just came to me through studying classical music. Yeah. But when I moved here, it was only when I moved back to Melbourne from Perth where I ended up joining a band. I was recruiting for a classical guitarist to join me to read sheet music and play at weddings.
Yep.
But I ended up joining his band. He recruited me, and this is where the improv started, I think we mentioned in another episode. But yeah, that was my experience, just being thrown into a band situation, performing with other people. and making songs up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I see happening as well now, and I'm with my son, and he's sort of got another mate who plays guitar, and they both play guitar, and they just have fun with it. They, you know, it's not at that point where, oh my God, we have to learn a repertoire and this and that. I think that's where the magic starts to fade a little bit. It's like when they get together and I listen to them from a different room, I have all the doors open because I love listening to them. They jump from song to song to song to song to song in riffs. It's not about playing a whole complete song. It's just they're playing riffs, from riff to riff to riff to riff. I go, you, what are you guys doing? You know, like not in front of them, but I speak to my son like after the thing. I think, okay, you've gone from that song to that. Because yeah, that's how we play. So they go from riff to riff to riff to style to genre to this to that. They just play.
Yeah.
Which is great. You know, and they just, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, whatever comes into their head and they are quite competent, you know, at playing. And I think that is good for their development as well, you know.
Well, I think we can learn from them. We lose that excitement at times, sure, especially as I say this, I'm trying to speak with excitement, but we lose it as we gain experience. We forget about that playful side.
Yeah, we gain insecurities.
Yeah, we gain insecurities. We're so focused on the repertoire, and then we actually lose sight of the enjoyment, and even just.
Definitely.
I think we could even. Oh, I should start doing this in rehearsals. Just start with an improv, or just start with jamming, and then that could be the warm up, and then do.
Yeah,
the
I agree.
After.
I agree. I that's. You know what? That's how I start my personal rehearsals now. Mm. Like when I rehearse, I just go in and I don't even sometimes do warm up. I just go in and do improvs.
Yeah, yeah.
Because sometimes that can be a warm up as well. But I think we lose sight of things when we start putting in repertoire.
Yeah, we can. We can forget why we're doing this in the first place.
Yeah, because we're so concentrating on getting the repertoire. First of all, the choices, right? And then playing it like it is if you're playing covers.
Yes.
Like if you're playing covers, you want to play it exactly like this, like the original. But I think, I think listening to my son and his mate play, it was like they came from songs, they're playing medleys all the time. About this is like 10-second medleys, bang, 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 bang. Okay, that could be a good idea for onstage thing, just go from riff to riff to riff to riff and then get the audience to pick out.
It could be quite fun. Where it comes from. Well, Alejandro kind of does that with some of his songs. Like he'll play a full song, then do a riff into AC/DC for like 10 seconds, then move into another song.
But I'm saying that the next level, go from riff to riff. Just keep going from riff to riff. Because that's what they do. And I think, man, it actually sounds not bad. If you clean it up and, you know, if that's your thing, it's a quite good idea. But I think the enjoyment of and sometimes, you know, you get insecure about, you know, being that young kid, and especially if you've got some kids that are a bit more experienced in the band. I think it's it can either kick you in the ass a little bit, or it can take you the other way and say, look, you know what, I'm just going to play rhythm.
Yeah, that's true. I was just thinking, even with bands, have you ever had a situation where you've been auditioning? Because I know I have. I've been in a band where we were auditioning for a player and we auditioned a few people and telling them that they weren't at the level to join the band or didn't fit, not at the level, but didn't fit even personality-wise. And
yeah, I have been in that, but I think the important thing is to give them feedback.
Yeah, I mean, it's important.
Not just tell them, oh, you don't fit and that's it. You need to tell them why they don't fit or what they can improve on. If they want to continue their journey on that style of band.
Yeah.
I didn't get a lot of feedback, and I would have appreciated it if I got some feedback when I was young. But when I was growing up, it was just a different world. Feedback wasn't a thing. But especially to people who are just starting out, not only kids, but people who are just starting out to have bands and stuff. I think that feedback in amongst your band members.
Yes.
That constructive criticism, not that I'm walking out with my instrument in my hand and never coming back sort of a thing, but that if there's one, you know, takeaway from this in a new band is that all need to have an open communication of what you're doing, what the outcome is, but why you're doing it.
It's so important, the communication.
Communication. Yeah. And And if there are some things that don't fit, voice it.
Yeah.
Voice it or do a list. Write out a list if you're a new band. What do we need to work on? What are we going to work? You know, who's got this task? Who's got that task?
Yeah, exactly. Assigning the roles.
Pretty much yeah. what we do now. It's like,
yeah, we're doing that now.
What we should yeah. be doing.
Oh, we should.
You know? But I think it's very important to keep the momentum up and the inspiration up for new bands. It's such a good time when you form a new band. You get to just be a bit free as well. Just this freedom of forming a new band is, you know, you're not isolated. You can put a, you know, put this in, or can put that person in, or put that sort of a instrument in, or do this sort of a, you know, this sort of version on this song. You know, it can be exciting.
Definitely. And even, I mean, inspiration can come from even going and seeing other bands, especially
getting ideas,
especially if you're starting out, then just getting some, getting some ideas from other ensembles, bands.
Yeah, I agree. And also for that person who wants to be a multi-instrumentalist, sometimes that opportunity comes up where you don't have the members that play a certain instrument.
Yes.
That you need to jump on and probably learn. Like it's if true. A guitarist mm. wanted to do a bit of keys, mm. jump on and have a crack, you know.
Yeah.
It's not about in those early stages, that's where the opportunities are.
Yeah.
You know, you might find that your talent or your interest lies in a different instrument. For example, I'm going to mention Van Halen.
Mm.
Eddie Van Halen and Alex Van Halen, who are brothers. Alex Van Halen, he was a drummer. Eddie was the guitarist, a genius of the old guitarists. So they actually swapped roles. So Eddie used to play drums and Alex used to play guitar. So what they did, they bet each other, I can play your instrument better than you can. So they swapped and that's how they stayed.
Oh, they stayed on those instruments?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And they both won or lost a bet. That's what I heard. So. Yeah, it's an interesting thing, and that's where you start. That's where the grassroots of bands and music is. It's quite a exciting period for anyone starting. I'm also going to mention, and it's good that you thought of this this topic. Last week, I went to an open mic night.
Oh yeah,
I'm going to mention Encore Music, in Altona. Great night, massive guitar or musical instrument shop, I should say, and they had an open mic night for everyone, and it was a great thing to see where there was not only the young, you know, the young and up and coming artists, but there were some people of age. I went and played.
Yeah,
you know, and. It was just amazing to see that there was so much energy, so much positiveness, and so much support for music. It was amazing. The people at Encore Music who organized that night were fantastic. It was just great to see some young kids going out there and having a crack, and some older guys as well. Like there was an 84-year-old ukulele player who. It was his first time out in front of public.
Oh, wow.
And he only just started playing the uke. So it's never too late
yes.
to start that band or to start that musical journey. And that's very, very important. And it was such a great night. Lovely artists, lovely people. And it was a great night. I got up and played, and I played with a friend of mine, Lydia, who sang a Macedonian song. It was just great to be up there and, you know, be in front of people who really appreciate music because they all brought their families and stuff. It was fantastic. It was really great. And that's that grassroots and that's that support that the industry needs and the young up-and-coming musicians. Not sorry, up-and-coming musicians, I'll say, because they're not all young. but, yeah, that's something to have a think about, you know, when you're starting a band, when you're starting your musical journey, just enjoy it as much as possible because
yes.
it can become a bit stressful sometimes.
It can. And I love that you went to an open mic night. It's a great idea for bands to go and jam there. I've met some musicians at open mics, not open mics, at jam sessions rather. But I went to a jam session on that note about 3 or 4 weeks ago with Nina, and it was Celtic music, and it was so cool. I'd never done this before, so they had different instruments. I highly suggest this as well for anyone who wants to step out of their comfort zone and learn a different style and get more ideas. I went with all the violinists and mandolins. Nina went with the guitarists. There was like a guitar area. There were what were the other instruments? Can't even remember. But there were a couple of different groups, and we learnt the what do you call it?
Jigs and stuff.
Yeah. We learnt the parts. It was really cool. It was a lot of listening skills required. So the lady would just play the first bit, we'd copy her, and she'd loop it, and then she added a bit more on. It was a cool way to learn, and then we put it all together at the end.
Fantastic.
It was really fun. There's lots of these places around. We just got to look for them. And again, a great way to get more ideas.
Maybe we should start one. Maybe we should create one.
I was thinking that as well. Yeah, I'd love
that.
We've
had a few different ideas of projects of how we can, you know, extend this to the musicians a bit more. Maybe that's something we can do as well. But it's a great opportunity, as you said before, not only for the up and coming musicians, but for the established musicians, like to go there and play, and give the opportunity to the up and coming musicians a chance to see what it's like when you're established, when you're pro, to go out and play. Because it's different when you see someone who's done it for a fair while and goes out there and plays and knows how to not only play but read a room.
Yeah.
And then these young, up and coming musicians, it's probably something that they can learn from.
Definitely, and be inspired by. Yeah. And for any established musicians, just doing something different is going to hone in your skills and give you more insight.
Definitely.
And even seeing, even like you said, I loved what you said about the swapping of instruments. It's just going to, there's an appreciation that you have for being a beginner again. Mm. You go, wow, I forgot about this process of how it was at the start. It was quite tricky.
And you bring the fundamentals back without you even knowing about it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. It's like you're starting a new journey. It's like a different world, jumping on a different, you know, instrument.
Yes.
Like something's been playing in my head for a while now is to buy a saxophone.
Well, you can have the one I'm using with the school. You can take my student.
Because I started it years ago, and I quite enjoyed it. And then, I just had it for a couple of weeks, and that was it. But I'm thinking about going back into maybe playing something like that.
It's
such a nice instrument.
You'd be great at it. I can already tell.
I can look, and it'll not only that I will enjoy playing it, but it can help me with my recordings and stuff like that.
Definitely.
It's always good to get people into record, but sometimes people can't afford session musicians or they haven't got the time.
Yeah.
So go out and grab another instrument, just play. I have a very good friend, Arif Dilenshar. He's a singer-songwriter from Cyprus and an amazing person, amazing artist. And he bought a saxophone and he learned to play it within a week. Right,
yeah,
just
wow.
bought an alto and started playing it. He loved it so much, he went and bought a tenor.
Yeah, oh,
and he's smashing it. You know, it's all about that the passion that you have about music and the interest that you have in something that you want to learn.
Yeah, if you're really into it, like definitely, like I'm playing the alto, as you know. I did it as a second instrument at uni. I like the sound it makes. I can play it. Like it's nothing. You know, I can play the thing, but I'm not enjoying it. So it's almost, there's something, I feel like maybe it's because I'm a flute player as well. Normally they go hand in hand, but for me, the embouchure shift and I have to work harder on my tone when I go back to the flute.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, but I've got a Yuki bass now and I'm really excited to.
Yuki bass is fantastic.
Yeah, I'm excited to get going onto that.
I've been wanting to buy one of those, but I want a solid body one, not an acoustic. You know, ones that you can slap and stuff.
Oh, yeah. You
know? But they're amazing.
Oh, they're so good. Yeah.
So being a startup band, that uke bass, for any bass players that want to or even guitarists that want to jump on the bass. Mm. I think that's a quite a good transition if you don't want to, you know, don't want to go down the full bass playing sort of, because that's another world.
Oh, it's completely but different. Yeah.
If you want that transition, a uke bass will, you know, and it's easy to carry as well.
It's light.
Yeah.
You can plug it into the
even DI.
Yeah, into, I was about to say DI. I forgot what it's called. Yeah,
yeah,
the DI.
Yeah, yeah. Plug it in, and that's another thing. Equipment.
Equipment.
For startup. Yeah. Bands, you know, it's always expensive.
It is. I mean, you can go on Gumtree, but I mean
Marketplace and stuff. Yeah. But
you don't know you've got to at least go with someone who's experienced or knows, or even take someone with you if you find something cheap and make sure the instrument works.
Definitely.
that helps.
And the other thing is that sometimes you have to think about it, because sometimes you're going to be paying for something, a lot of money, where you don't really need to.
Yeah, that's right.
You can buy something cheap.
You can start with something cheap, and if you take a liking to it, then you can upgrade later on. You don't want to spend thousands on an instrument and go, I don't like this thing anymore.
No, you don't want to. And look, with things like guitars, bass and drums, there's a standard sort of, you can get away with buying something cheaper and doing gigs.
Yeah, for sure.
When you go down the woodwind path, it's a bit different, right? It's a bit different. Yeah. But, you know, it's like when you get that first instrument and you play and you're starting to get gigs and you're starting to get out there and the band's coming together, and then you can set yourself a goal to actually, you know, when I get that many gigs and I make that much money, I'm going to buy the next level of instrument.
Exactly.
And that's another incentive, you know.
Well, that's what I do.
That's exciting too. Yeah, that's exciting for me even to this day.
Yeah, you know? It's so exciting. I mean, there's always an instrument that you want, another instrument.
There's two instruments that I want. That I want at three, actually. But
you said saxophone. What's the other two?
One was the uke bass, but I've actually transitioned that into a six-string bass.
Oh wow!
Which I want to get.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it's a bit easier for me to just, while I'm recording, it's more for recording purposes, not to play live, but just to grab one of my instruments and play it and record it.
Yeah.
Because sometimes things come into my head and I think, I'm going to record it now.
You've got to record it on the spot and you've got a specific instrument in mind.
And I'm very lucky. I have the leisure of recording in my own studio and jumping on whenever I have an inspiration. But that's a new journey as well. You know, it's like starting up a new band. It's like you grab another instrument, you think, oh, I have to work this out now.
Yeah, it's really fun.
It's fun. It's exciting. And one thing that I do recommend with the up-and-coming bands and everything like that, nothing has to be perfect. Enjoy the experience. Everyone makes mistakes. Even the pros make mistakes. It's not about that. It's about enjoying the journey, the process, because you might not get that get that again. Like, I've only had that new start band experience a couple of times where, you know, it's been really enjoyable. You know, like you get a lot of inspiration from. You know, I've started mini bands, but there's only a couple of bands that you think, oh, it's really inspirational, and
you just, you know, flow off each other.
Yeah, and you're learning things.
Yeah.
So learn as much as possible off each other, I think.
And enjoy that's so process. Important. Yeah. You enjoy the process. The learning is so important.
Yeah.
I forget about that. If you're in a band where you, even technically, I've started to notice I've been getting bored at times and I'm thinking, okay, what can I do here?
Yeah. Right. And that's quite important. When you start getting to that stagnant thing, this is where sometimes problems occur, because you're getting stagnant. There's nothing to push. You're playing the same things over and over again, and it's like, I need a break. And this is where your mind goes to, maybe I need to leave the band, which is a negative connotation. It's unfortunately, that's sort of like the process. But if the bands keep on reinventing themselves and start putting things in, I think it keeps up the excitement and the momentum.
Definitely. Challenging each other. Yeah.
And also there might be, some bands where you'll get other projects from the band, like you split up, like you get a duo or a trio, and, you know, depending on what you need to do gigs and stuff. But even that can become quite exciting too, where you know you get together for the big gigs, and then you just do little gigs with people from the band.
With bits of people from the band. I'll take your arms, please.
Yeah. But yeah, that even that can be exciting. And I know that sometimes rubs bands up the wrong way, but for you to maintain that excitement and that challenge and not become stagnant, I think maybe that's probably better than just to leave the band altogether, because you Definitely. Come back to the band and you come back a bit refreshed.
Especially, yeah. I mean, there's friendships there as well, and years of playing at, I mean, with certain bands as well.
Well, there should be friendships.
Yeah. One would hope there are friendships.
Yeah, you'd hope. But I think it's a very exciting time when you start a new band, and there's a lot of things that you have to consider. What is the goal of the band? Where do you see the band? What do you need to do to get the band there? It's not, don't think of a band of having just one leader. It's a team effort. I've been in both situations. I'll take the team effort anytime instead of just leading a band.
Or, you can burn out. That's the thing, if you're a leader.
Or even having, being in a band with a leader, because sometimes it's hard all the time for the leader. And if you can make their life easier, it's better for them. But I think playing it as a team, everyone's got different thoughts, and sometimes you don't know what other people are thinking. Maybe they have some really good ideas.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that is the main takeaway. Where do you see the band going? If it's just the thing where we're just having fun, it's a jam band, even better, because there are no, there's no sort of like
expectations,
and you know, there are so many egos and stuff like that. Yeah. And that's the last thing you want in a band starting off.
You get to see that later on.
Yeah. I think it's an exciting time. You know, if I can take myself back, I'd do it in a moment. Just that first experience of playing live with that first band. You know, you get very excited, very nervous, and you know, it's like you're out there, and it's an amazing experience, you know, and it's something that you should always try and portray in every gig that you do, as pros, you know. Always go out there and, you know, just play as if it's the first and last gig, maybe.
Yeah, so important. Yeah.
But I think that's the takeaway for everyone from my perspective. What about you, Amla? What are your thoughts on, you know, just generally, if you're going to go into a new band, or someone's to call you, say, look, I'm creating my first band, what would be, if they say, I want you to come in, I want you to give me some advice, what would be the first thing?
Oh, some advice?
I want you to come in my band, but I want you, I don't know how to do it, or
advice
that you give?
So I would firstly find out what kind of music they want to play. That helps, and seeing if the music aligns with what if it's a style you're not sure about, you can always do a trial period. I think this is important, because so this has happened. Yeah. Intention, like if you like the music, I mean, you've got to like the music. Definitely. It's so important. And then I guess if you are starting up a band, you've got to look at what kind of, like you said yourself, are you going to be a cover band? Are you going to be a playing for fun band?
Yep.
Do you intend to do gigs in the future? Mapping it out, writing it all down.
Mapping it out, that's a good one.
And like what instruments you might want to involve. Yeah, what instruments. And if you're being asked to join a band, see what style. And I mean, I'm going to go off slightly here. There are some Facebook groups where you can actually, if you're looking for players, you can audition people. Like you can experiment with the audition process and challenge yourself. Yeah. Melbourne musicians, they're all.
Yeah, I'm part of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think every musician in Melbourne's a part of that. But there's always musicians looking for bands. And but I would say, just see if you like the music. Find out the location of the rehearsals. You want to make sure that
that's a good point, because some of the young members probably don't have a license, and
they'll be taking public transport, and you're taking gear. You really need to, I mean, it's easy to just be really enthusiastic and go, yes, and then find out it's in Frankston or somewhere like that's really far away from you.
Yeah, I was lucky that my parents were really supportive of me playing music, only because my dad was a musician, that they used to take me to rehearsals when I used to do these startup bands when I was young. I was like 14, 15.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't going to let me go on the train with a guitar, you know. That's probably worth more than my life. You know? So, but
yeah,
that's a very important point.
It's so important. You've got to find out the location and see if you have like lovely parents like yourself who are able to take you there, just especially with gear. If you're playing, what about if you're a percussionist? I mean, that's another point too.
Yeah, you really can't take that on the bus.
No, you can't. And even kit. Double bass player. I've got friends who play those big instruments and you either got to have a car or just you've got to find ways.
You've got to find ways, you know. And it's, again, it all coincides with the passion. How much passion do you have to actually go and play music and go to these auditions or go to these
go to these open rehearsals
mics. Open mics and take your gear and because it's not easy, but I can tell you there's nothing like jumping on a stage and having that experience on the stage. Not all the money in the world can pay for that. It's just an experience that you get addicted to.
Yeah,
you know? You want to do it over and over and over again. That's why we put our $10,000 gear in our $500 cars and travel for 4.5 hours to a gig, right? It's because of the passion. You know, it's not about, if it's about the money, no one would be doing it at a grassroots or even at some pro level, right?
Yeah.
It's about the passion, so enjoy the process.
You enjoy the process, and one more thing: don't be afraid if the band is not if you do a few rehearsals with the band, especially as a beginner, and you're not connecting or you're finding it's not gelling. Don't be afraid to. The communication is key, especially when you're younger. I found that I wasn't very good at communicating in general, so I would just endure it and stay.
Same.
And you just waste time,
especially if the other members are a bit older.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? You don't want to, but look, there's a fine line between in the communication too. You don't want to make it sound that you're giving directions as well.
Yes,
because then it can be taken on a bit differently. If being young, that can quite often happen. But I think if there's anything to take, make it a discussion rather than I'm telling you. Pointing out these mistakes that you need to rectify. It's not about that. It's about enjoying the journey and open communication and discussing everything about what's happening in the band, because it's a team.
It's a team effort
If you're doing solo gigs, then you have to deal with yourself, which is the worst thing you can do and the most hardest thing you can do, and talk to the voices in your head.
Talking to the 5 or 6 or 7 voices telling you to do different things.
The ensemble. The ensemble in your head.
That's a cool band name, the ensemble in your head.
Yeah, the ensemble, and it's a solo act.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, Cake Eclipse, for these wonderful, delectable, delicious cakes. Thank you again.
Thank you. Yeah, it can be concerning.
Yeah.
But, I think that's the main take, I think, from that. Great topic, Amla.
Really interesting.
Really interesting. Until next time. Ciao.
Take care.
The Strike Accord Podcast, presented to you by ValentinoFlamenco.com and AmlaMusic.com.